Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead Radio, and with me today is somebody I know very well, and I am delighted to have her as our leading lady. I want to introduce all of our listeners to the lovely Cookie Walden, who is the founder and wealth manager of Walden Wealth Management. That's a lot of mouthful there. And I am so excited about our topic, because to me, it's like we're going to talk about money, or we're going to talk about tips for sustainable wealth management plans. So, Cookie, say hello to all of our listeners throughout the U.S. How are you today?
Hello. I am very fine. Thank you, Michelle. Hi, everyone. And, Michelle, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, we're excited to have you on the show. And I have to give full disclosure, as you are, and I want you to sit up proudly, and I want to, like, you know, like a peacock here, is Cookie is an award-winning Connected Women of Influence because she won our Connected Woman of Influence Award at our Women of Influence Awards earlier this year. So congratulations on that, we think, high honor. I hope you're feeling all proud about that, that you are somebody who is award-winning. I know you have other awards, but kind of a proud moment, right?
Yes, of course, Michelle. I mean, that award was definitely an incredible honor, and I thank you so much. But
I love it, and I know
it's amazing.
Well, and we are delighted to, you know, we were pretty excited. At least I was excited when I found out who won, so know that. But, you know, I think today, you know, to me, I think when people start talking about money or wealth management or even planning, right, you know, wealth planning, it becomes either something that people's eyes glaze over in the back of their heads, or they say to themselves, oh, I'll get to it someday, or I can't even worry about this. And I know what I love about you is you have a passion for teaching your clients how to invest wisely and also just to see beyond wealth itself. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to kind of ask you, because I know this about you, is you have a four-step process to wealth management. Can you just share a little bit with our listeners about what that amazing four-step process is to wealth management?
Yes, absolutely, Michelle. Yes, I do have a four-step process, and it comes in four different phases. The phase one is the discovery stage, and that stage really is the initial meeting, and that is where we get to know each other. And this is when we focus on what their specific goals are and what they want for their investment capital to do for them, what their time frames are, and their risk tolerances. This is also a crucial phase because this is where first impressions are created and expectations are presented, and this is also where we determine if we're a perfect fit or if we can work with each other or if we like each other. This is very important, and it works both ways. Mm-hmm. So that's a discovery phase. The next phase is the strategy phase, and the primary objective of this stage is really to develop an effective and investment strategy that is custom-tailored to the unique needs of each client. This is where we develop a diversified plan that is designed to help protect their wealth while being positioned to take advantage of potential growth opportunities as well. This is also when we provide clients with healthy exposure to equities for growth as well as bonds for guarantees. And this is where we also separate their portfolios in goals-based buckets. You know what I mean? I mean, we make sure that all the bases are covered, and it's not just for wealth accumulation, but also for the protection of such. And the third phase is implementation, and that is when we start to implement the investment strategy. This is when the accounts are set up and funded according to the strategy. And of course, the phase four would then be the monitoring and adjusting. And we monitor our clients' accounts on a regular basis, and I meet up with them on a regular basis as well to do reviews. And we want to ensure that they're still performing in a way that meets their intentions. And when we discover that a client's circumstances have changed or that shifting global markets require a different investing approach, then we are quick to make adjustments. And that's the phase four of it. Yes.
I have to tell you, I would call that the woo-hoo phase, because that's the phase where you're going, yeah, baby, my wealth is working. It's like things are clicking. So I think you need to change your four-step process and call number four the woo-hoo stage. That's my two little suggestions for you today. Yeah, right. No, so let me dig into this, because those are great, because I get it. You know, I don't think so many people, you know, I'm really curious on your opinion on this. People get really wigged out when they think about financial planning or wealth management. And then there are some people, like one of the things I always love to say, it's like, you know, money, it's okay to love it, you know. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, within that, women kind of deal with things differently than men do. But I'm curious mm-hmm. If we just kind of look at females right now, because that's our audience and those are our listeners, mm-hmm. do you see anything about women that maybe have are some of the challenges that women have over a four-step process like this? Or do you see anything different between men and women and how they approach wealth management differently? Any thoughts?
Yes, definitely. The reality is, Michelle, women are actually very resilient. And with my experience, when I sit down with couples, the business happens only if the woman approves of me. It is eventually the woman. Yes, exactly. It is actually the woman who decides whether or not they go with me as the financial advisor of the family. It is definitely not the man. The man is there to listen to what I have to say, to listen to what my processes are and everything, but it is the woman who eventually approves it. That is the reality.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And do you find more women are becoming more? And again, I'm asking big generalities, because you know there are mm-hmm. like books and things out there that will say, oh, you know, women don't invest as aggressively or as much as men. And then there are books and things that say that men or women are not as actively involved in the investment decisions. And are you finding that true? Or are women very engaged and part of the process, either with a spouse or a significant other or on their own? Are they more engaged? Do you find just kind of a trend?
I just want to let you know that from my experience, it is exactly the opposite. You know, women are actually very astute. Yes, exactly. And they are actually the planners. They are the ones who do the budgeting while the men just bring home the bacon. You know, so it is a woman who actually handles a lot of the financials that as far as I'm concerned, as far as I've experienced in my 19 years in the industry, it is actually the woman who handles all those things. It is a man who bring home the bacon. And the women are actually very astute about these things.
Oh, that's good to know. I mean, it is interesting what media says and what others don't, and yet mm-hmm. you're in the trenches working with both men and women. And what are, you know, with the clients that you're working with, are you finding just with the recent, you know, kind of, you know, how the financial world and, you know, all the different things going on, whether the Dow Jones is doing great or ups and downs in the volatile market, what are some of the things that you're seeing? Are people feeling uneasy about investing right now? Or how do you kind of work with your clients to say, it's okay, this is going to be all right? But I would imagine a balanced portfolio is probably one big step. But what else, you know, do you find that happens when you see volatile markets and you're dealing with clients that are obviously concerned about their future wealth and whether they're going to have money around in the future?
Yeah, this is actually where education comes into play. You know, because when these things happen, let's say, for example, the Brexit. That's the most recent one that happened when Britain exited the European Union. Mm-hmm. Everybody just panicked, and the media just had a field day about it. And what I always through my weekly newsletters with my clients and even with my phone calls, I immediately call them and tell them to stay the course. At this point of my career, though, with the clients that I have, they are no longer afraid of it because they've seen it, and I've always told them to stay the course, stick to the discipline, to not look at the long-term investment with a short-term perspective. This is where a lot of do-it-yourselfers shoot themselves in the foot. They bail when the markets go south and join the bandwagon when the markets are on an upward trend. This may sound reasonable, but what they're really doing is buying high and selling low. And
right.
the absolute opposite of investing principle. In investing, Michelle, yeah, in investing, you need to go against the grain. You know, Warren Buffett's famous words are to be fearful when everyone is greedy and to be greedy when everyone is fearful. And that is very true. You cannot subscribe to the crowd mentality when it comes to investing. Because the reality is there is no one particular negative world event that is here to stay. Whether it's World Wars, you know, one or two, I mean, we've all, the market has been very resilient. We've been through all that. When a new day unfolds, those events become old news, and economies are very resilient because human beings are progressive and creative. And there will always be, you know, like, yes, Michelle.
You were on the track. Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I mean, there is always something after the computer. There will always be something after the iPhone and all those, you know, virtual technologies. A good example is, let's say, for example, the Brexit. I just said that. It shook the markets all of 2 days before it jumped up to record highs. Now, the accounts of people who bailed during the negative media hype will take a while to recover from that misjudgment. Whereas if they just stay the course, it would just have done that roll a little bit of a roller coaster ride and gone back up. So that is the reality of the market.
Well, and you know, for picking apart some of your 4-step process, I know the discovery process is probably what you sit down with. I mean, we go into a little more detail. So discovery is based on a person's propensity for risk, what their current state is. What are some of the things you do in the discovery process to kind of find out, you know, what is the right strategy for someone? I mean, what are some things that our listeners can kind of keep in mind if they were to work with you on the discovery side? What would you take them through? Can you share a few of those?
Oh, absolutely. I really pick apart their goals. You know, so I pick apart their goals. I always tell them to always have a portfolio that will address all their goals, whether it's a short-term or mid-term or long-term goals. That is the only way that you can have a sustainable portfolio. Okay, so have a portfolio that addresses all the goals. And then number two, they should have a separate bucket for every given goal. Never, never commingle monies that are geared for the short term with monies that are geared for retirement. It is not a wise idea to do that because you are bound to not make one of the goals happen, you know, not hit one of the goals. And then number three would be to protect all that, you know. So sustainability of a particular portfolio also means that your portfolio will have to weather not just all of life's unexpected or life's expected events like retirement or sending children to college, but it should also have to weather all of life's curveballs like a major life event like death, unexpected death or disability or change of jobs or, you know, relocating to a different state or even a car breakdown, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. So especially with women, I mean, you should never, ever have to be a paycheck away from bankruptcy. An effective and a sustainable plan should not have to go through that.
Well, and that leads me to another question because, you know, I mean, again, trends, and we look at people's, you know, we are definitely in an immediate kind of gratified world where it's like everything needs to be now. You know, we live on credit card. I think for so many of us, like maybe our parents or our grandparents, you know, with what they went through in the Depression, I think it was a rude awakening, at least it was for almost everybody I know, post-2008, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, I mean, I was leveraged. I know everybody that I know had all kinds of things where money just was spent amok. How, you know, what, I guess the question becomes, do you find that it's kind of what the media says is that people are not saving as much and that, like the media purports, that people are 1 month away from bankruptcy? Or do you find that there are just a certain group of people that really get the idea they have to have a plan and they stick with it and they're an interesting, different bunch? Or what's kind of your take on people that, why don't they save? You know, why don't they look at wealth management a little more seriously? Just kind of curious.
It is all about education, Michelle, and you are very right. It is the relationship with money, self-gratification, instant gratification. That is one of the worst enemies of sustainability. Okay, the first one really is the lack of discipline to follow through the plan, because a lot of people, I've sat down with a lot of people, and we create great plans, right? They're very excited. They're very excited. They leave the office very thankful and excited about what we have created, excited about the funding. And then after that, after give it a few months, You know, they lack the discipline to follow through. They stop the program. There are times when we create great financial plans only for clients to blow it on a want that mutates into a need, like a beckoning resort home or that trendy must-have Tesla. You know, so, oh, my goodness.
Or the yacht. Or, the yacht that I'm hoping to buy that I can't afford. That would be mine on a list. But
oh my gosh.
Then you got to maintain those boogers. Yeah, exactly.
I know. Yeah,
It
could also be a Harvard education for their kids on a community college budget, or a champagne lifestyle and a beer budget. It can be anything, or a new spouse. You know, I've seen people swath go up in smoke because of a divorce. You know, so
yeah.
That is the number one enemy. And of course, the second one really is when a client refuses to protect the plan from one life event that is guaranteed to happen, and that is death. You know, no one is immune to death or disability or even a chronic illness. Let's face it. We are guaranteed to go one day. You know, it's just our manner of exit that we are never sure of. Either we go quickly or we linger. And, you know, it's the lingering that renders the worst blow to any financial plan, because we are dying, but we're never dead, you know? So
that's got to be the best word I've ever heard, whether we linger or we go quickly. It's like, I'm like, you know, most people will go, well, that's the disability part, you know? And I think for any of us that have had either, you know, situations, like for me, you know, my husband, it's like, you know, we've been through so much, you know, with mm-hmm. his health issues, and everybody's situation is different. But, you know, I want to kind of go back to something, and this is what I hear, you know, for some individuals, and I obviously know when I bring this up, they're working with the wrong financial advisor. However, you know, what, because I know you love what you do and you're very passionate, and I know, I actually know some of your clients and they just think the world of you. What can you tell somebody that is working with an advisor? It's like they put them in a plan and a package, they never see them anymore, because that is so not part of your four-step process, right? Because you talked about the adjusting and the tweaking and that piece. It's like, how do you make sure that you're working with your clients that as things change, or, you know, life events happen, or just their focus and goals are different, how do you keep connected with them to tweak their financial plan?
Oh, you always have to have the right technologies in place as well. You know, like with one click of a finger, you are able to see your client's accounts. You know, comprehensive, mm-hmm. not just the accounts that you're managing, but even the accounts that are outside of your management. You know, that is the one thing. And number two is to always keep a managerial practice. You don't want to have 1,000 clients. You only have 360 days a year. How can you meet up with everyone? You know, you gotta have a manageable book of business where you are really only working with clients that you know you really want to keep. You have to have that, and because the minute you go overboard with the number of clients that you need to service, that is when everything falls through the cracks. That is number one. Number two is to have a very, very good and effective administrative assistant. And like I've always told you, I have one.
You have a good one. You have a very good one.
Gold.
Yeah.
Yes. It's incredible. It's just incredible. So it's just those two things. Have a managerial practice. Have good technology systems in hand. And number three would be to have an incredible administrative assistant.
Well, and I want to go a little more personal with you. It's like, you know, you've been in this business quite a while, and I know you've been
sure.
with a firm, and then you've launched out on your own with your own wealth management firm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, kind of start me back from the beginning. I mean, what was the tipping point that you said, this is the industry and this is the profession I want to be a part of? Can you share with our listeners of what bug struck you to get into financial and wealth management?
Yeah, I can do that. Yes. Yeah, I graduated with a degree in economics in one of the oldest universities in the Philippines. And I started off, Michelle, I started off majoring in English with literary concentration. I love reading, and I love to write as well. That was where my passion was. But the thing is, I ended up with a degree in economics because it was what intrigued me the most. Business and wealth have always fascinated me. Even growing up, I've always wondered why some people have a natural capacity to generate wealth while others don't. And I saw that in the neighborhood. And I was keenly aware of the haves and the have-nots. And I knew from the get-go that I wanted to be in the former demographic. I want to have it because I saw how money can provide you with opportunities. I saw how it can open doors, how it can save time, and how it can allow you to be more charitable. And and as long as you have a healthy relationship with money, it can be a very, very good thing. Now, of course, I've also seen it go the other way where it becomes a curse now. That's an entirely different thing. So, yeah, so I've been in the business since 1997, yes.
That's a long time. And for you, it's like, you know, some of the things that you've seen over the years, I mean, how I know we're kind of getting into, like, you know, your history here, but how different is the financial services / financial planning / now wealth management? How different is it from when you first started? Because it's still, you know, I mean, what I hear that is kind of been the steady eddy, it's like, you know, invest long term, you know, frequent, you know, buy-ins or, you know, kind of those frequent payments. It's like have a balanced portfolio. Has anything changed that much in the long years you've been in wealth management? Do you find that things are still about the same as far as practice and recommendations and solutions, or have things changed a lot over the years?
Oh, things have changed a lot over the years, but the principles of investing remain the same. The principles of investing remain the same. It is always buy low and sell high. It is always staying true to the discipline. But as far as products and investment styles are concerned, of course it has changed. Before, it was just all about passive investing. It was about buying and holding. And now, because behavioral economics have come into play, where, you know, headlines can cause a market chaos, even when it has nothing to do with true economic principles, you know, that is when new funds have come into play. That's when new money managers have started to breed that put behavioral economics into perspective as well, as far as they are managing the funds, because they try to be actively managing the portfolio when the news says something negative, because they know that people's behavior, what they would do is to bail out of the market when that happens, even when it has nothing to do with how great the companies are doing. You know,
well,
so,
and, you know, and that leads to, I mean, you know how powerful social media is today. I mean, a lot of people, you know, get their news and their information strictly on, like, Facebook and, you know, website updates. So I'm really curious, how has that affected how people invest or what they pay attention to or how you do business? You know, because I know you use social media and you've got compliance that you've got to deal with, and it's people's money. So how does the reaction to the market, how has that affected you based on social media and what people pay attention to, like on Facebook and on the social media platforms like Twitter and all that? Does it affect how people invest or what they pay attention to?
It certainly has, because now, even when they don't read the news, it just shows up on their Facebook page. You know what I mean? So they're in there to look at their friends, you know, like page and all that, and all of a sudden there's this news about something that happens. And, of course, it affects our practice. It affects the markets and all that. You know, it certainly has. And it provides us with different opportunities to approach a particular scenario where clients panic. They keep panicking into the market and panicking out because they just could not handle the news. So there's almost like the real truth and the virtual truth that's out there that's really messing things up. But the thing is, it's always good to maintain a very good communication level with your clients when it comes to that.
Yeah, I know you do. I mean, I have to say, and that, you know, that's something for our listeners. If they have questions, you know, we get, you know, people that go, oh my gosh, it resonated with me what you said. You know, if any of our listeners want to reach you now or in the future, what would be the best way you want them to raise their hand and connect with you? Will you share how you want people to find you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they can always well, of course, call me at my office, or they could always go to my website as well. And my website is Cookie, COOKIE, at WaldenWealth.com, MGT, which is short for management. So that's Cookie at WaldenWealthMGT.com. Or they can call me as well, and that would be at 949-225-4787. And I am located in Irvine.
In Southern California, which right now for us, because we're kind of wusses in Southern California, the rest of the world is like super hot, or at least the rest of the U.S., and we're like, I think it's like 80-something today, and we're going, oh, this is so warm. It's the summer for us, but it is warm out in Southern California. You know, talk to me a little bit about the future. You know, when people start saying, I'm going to back up. There was one question I had because, you know, we worked together in a workshop through our association, Connected Women of Influence, and I know you saw this, is when we started talking about money and wealth management and investing, it's like, you know, there were so many of the women within our association that said, I want more of this. I want more education. And I'm curious, like, if some of the women listening, they're like, I want to go educate myself. It's like, I want, you know, not, and of course, calling you is one piece to the puzzle. I think you should have a really, you know, strong relationship with a wealth manager like yourself. What would be maybe a couple of tips you would suggest for people if they're not local or something like that, and they want to go educate themselves on more of the financial and wealth management side that's personal to them? Would there be maybe a few places or suggestions you would have people go just to start that process of education if it's not with somebody like you? What would you suggest they do?
I would suggest for them to go to my website.
Okay,
because
there's a lot of
financial tools. There's a lot of financial tools there that they could actually use. And the news, we always update everything there about the markets and what they need to do and all that. And if anything, Michelle, really, I mean, because I cannot trust anything out there. I cannot just trust anything out there, because there's a lot in the media right now that are just out there for the sensational part of it. And it is not really true to the market situation. But if anything, before we end this conversation, if anything, I would want to leave people who are listening to this with just one nugget of wisdom. In an 81-year trailing period that takes us all the way to the Depression years, the market really only had 14 negative years, Michelle. I mean, think about it.
Wow.
Out of the 81 years, the market has only gone down 14 years. For 14,
wow.
only had 14 negative years. I will bet on the market anytime. Because in that 81-year trailing period, that includes all the world wars, the Cold War, the terrorist attacks, the assassinations, the subprime credit crisis, what have you. You know, the market has always fluctuated, but it has fluctuated upwards. And, you know, I can say the disclosure that historical performance is not indicative of future results until I'm blue in the face, but the reality is it is the ownership of equities that has allowed people to build a sizable nest egg that allows them to retire comfortably, if not luxuriously. It is equities that have sustained.
That's the best nugget you could say. I mean, is the other part of it kind of don't really give so much credence and don't pay so much attention to what the media says about the, you know, ups and downs of the volatile market? I mean, obviously, you know, some people go, I don't. Okay.
Yeah. It is the nature of the market. And the volatility of the market is actually what allows people to make money as well, because it's when the market goes down that provides for opportunities for people to buy in.
What I love about you is the fact that it's like, you know, you need to be a little more excited about what you do. That's what I'm going to say to you, because it's like you are so passionate. No, I mean it as a compliment, because it's like I think you need somebody in your court like that. So, you know, again, I want to tell all of our listeners, and I've got one last question for you, and it has to do with where can people start. So I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to your website, which is Walden Wealth Management, but it's MGT, so WaldenWealthMGT.com, and it sounds like you've got a lot of resources there, and it's like it's the steady, the tried, the true. The other part, Cookie, and this is where, I mean, so many people, it's like, you know, they wait too long, you know, they're in they're 50 years of age, or it's like they're 40-something, and I've got young kids, and they're thinking, I don't have any extra money at all. And it's like, can you just give a couple of slices of advice if people are at kind of, you know, step one, or maybe not, where they've got a portfolio to invest in? Where should somebody start basic, you know, kind of like start with this? Give us a couple of tips, and it's like, that's going to be the end of our show, unfortunately. What would be how you want to leave us with the beginners and the people that just need to start with step one? What should they do?
Okay. I mean, you know, Michelle, if it's just to get their feet wet, I would always go for something balanced. I would tell them to, of course, meet up with a financial advisor. It doesn't have to be me, okay? An index fund or a target date fund may be a good place for them to start, you know, because those funds are already diversified enough, okay?
Right.
And if it's targeted to the date of their potential retirement date, then it will just calibrate or adjust itself accordingly, according to their retirement date. And these funds allow you to invest in a broad swath of the market, and they don't have to require stock picking knowledge, but it does give you a way. It does give them a way to get their feet wet. That is where they should start.
And it's also, it doesn't take a lot, right? I mean, you're talking $50 a month. I mean, some of them are pretty reasonable as far as what they can contribute on a monthly basis, correct?
Oh gosh, it's so different now.
So
I mean, before the stock market was only for the Roosevelts and the Kennedys and the really wealthy people of the world, but now in the advent of the mutual fund industry, because we are able to pool our investors' dollars, we are now going to come up with a large amount of money for money managers to put in the market. So even the middle class, or even the people who are in the lower the income bracket, can now partake in the growth of the economy because of the advent of the mutual fund industry. Yes, you could put $50 a month, and if you are, especially in a younger age, if you are consistent with putting money on a monthly basis, you'll be very surprised at what you can come up with by the time you retire. By the same token, for people who are already late in the game, I would never say that it is always too late, but unfortunately, our business is not, and our job is not the easiest thing. We have to keep it real for our clients. Sometimes we have to deliver the bad news that, you know, hey, you can't retire yet. Give it another 5 years, or you know what, you will just have to work all your life if you don't prepare for these things. Yeah,
right.
That's very true.
Right.
There are no scholarships for retirement.
There's no easy way either, is what I'm hearing you say. But it's like, you know, long term, you know, very systematic. It's like those are such good pieces of advice. And what's always funny to me is like, that's the tried and true, and what's always been there. And yet people still look for the shortcut. So to all of our listeners, listen to Cookie, visit her website. Mm-hmm. You have been amazing on our show, Cookie. I know why you are award winning, but I do hope that if anybody has any questions, they'll find you. And to all of our listeners, I want to say thank you for listening. And Cookie, thank you for being our leading lady. As you all know, we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. I'm delighted to say that next Friday, you are not going to be hearing from me. Well, not delighted, but I have to say I will not be the one that's on the show. But I'm excited that we have Deborah Simpson, who is the host of How to Speak and Perform and Elevate with one of our Women Lead radio shows. Deborah Simpson, who is Women Who Influence Through Speaking, is going to have her guest, Thea Fassbinder, who is going to talk about how to present, how to speak, and how to perform to elevate and resonate. I hope you will listen into the show. And to everyone, have a great weekend. And please, please, please take a moment and try to support another woman in your professional life. Have a great week. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.